Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Happy Party Friday, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up, brought to you as always by the great blog,
ColoradoCitizenPress.com. You want to check them out?
Every day.
They post things that they're Colorado's true conservative voice. Have a lot to talk about today. We've got Patrick Neville coming up here any second for the Weekly Minority Report. We're going to bring in Matt Dunn, our former colleague, co-host of Backbone Radio on Sunday nights at 710 KNUS Radio.
And he is a real expert on the deep state.
Exactly. He's an expert on the deep state to talk about the Klein Smith guilty plea today. We'll fill you in on all of that and what it means, what it doesn't mean. What we hope, what we don't know, all of that. And then Denver's communist, a self-avowed communist, a city council member.
Nice one, though.
No, you know, at least she challenges Hancock. Yeah, I'll keep her that. Yeah. Candice DeBaca is going to introduce a bill on Monday that would put to a vote of Denver citizens to get rid of the police department and form an unarmed peace force. And I said, somebody sent me that, and I said, I hope they do that. Number one, it'll improve our property values up here in the suburbs.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, maybe then when I speed on I-25, which I rarely do, but on occasion I'm forced to, there won't be anyone there to stop me.
People from some other jurisdiction.
Not in the Denver area, though.
That's true.
That's not. I mean, and that's mostly where I go. So yeah. I'm all for that. I don't know that Peace Force people, you know, with our luck, they'd have the Peace Force people just give traffic tickets, and they wouldn't actually enforce laws, other laws.
All right. I've got my golf hat on because I played golf and got golf hair, so why not?
That's right. You know, when we're trying to get Patrick here. Patrick, I know, has classes on Friday afternoons. Wanted to talk to him.
Looking at his future after politics, I guess.
Yeah, really. Wanted to talk to him about the Governor Polis' mask.
Extending, saying, you know, we're not where we want to be. Kind of like no deaths virtually.
And
the whole thing, it has turned into a hoax. I mean, before it didn't call it a hoax, but now it's just pathetic.
You know, the Federalist had a great article written by somebody about Polis's the science that he's using. Science, I use the term loosely,
science, right.
To rely on. And essentially, he compared it to sacrificing human lives to control the weather.
If the
weather didn't cooperate, then they said, well, we haven't sacrificed enough human lives, and we have to sacrifice
That's
more.
That's a good comparison.
And then
when they
sacrificed more, and then the weather did change, you're like, see, sacrificing. And it was saying that the COVID stats that the governor is relying on that's essentially what they say. It's like, oh, well, the reason that there's even been one more case is because we're not doing enough. So we have to crack down more.
Yeah.
And then when we crack down more, they say, see, the reason everyone's not dead.
I saw somebody on CNBC, the head of Minnesota Fed. He was saying, we need to go a 3-week lockdown now, just because, you know, we need to sacrifice some more virgins. There's no question about it.
Right. This guy was pointing out in the Federalist column that the number, I mean, it was so ridiculous. It was saying if we don't have complete lockdown and masks, something to the extent of millions of Coloradans would die, which we already know now is just completely ridiculous, right? None of the models are there. Our good friend, Michael Tile, the investigative blogger, I'm not sure I'm ready to go here yet, but he's raising the possibility. He said, is there even really a COVID-19? He said, when you look at the genetic markers, I guess that's not the right word, but he said they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And I noted he's right. The symptoms range from everything from no symptoms, right, to
minor
sniffles and fever.
And if you're 80 plus, then it might affect you just like pneumonia. Or any kind of influenza affects you if you're 80 and have five comorbidities.
He was saying there are some people who are starting to say, when they test people, when it seems like the tests are screwy, I mean, it's not like, I don't want to say this right. You can test for certain things and you either like have, let's just say cancer, or you don't have cancer, right? But with viruses and colds and things like that, apparently it's not so clear cut,
right?
You either might have it or maybe you don't have it.
We can trust this. We can trust Fauci. I mean, I trust Fauci totally. Whatever he has to say, I take it to the bank.
Right. So it is, I think, a hoax. I think we can call it a hoax. And but again, you know, when Polis extends the mask mandate, Hancock wants to crack down more. Businesses are closing. Companies are declaring bankruptcy. Stores are going out of business. Families are losing.
I'm just amazed there's not a bigger revolt against all this. I mean, the churches are all going, I'll apply for a waiver. You know, as if going to Claudius or Nero or one of them, I'll apply for a waiver.
See, yeah, and it's a thumbs up, thumbs down. Nope, you can't have that.
No, we are. The Lions are going to eat.
Hey, while we're waiting, if we don't get Patrick here, we'll probably just go ahead and move on. But if you want to call in, let me give you the number, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. You can get to every place you need to go with us at chuckandjulie.com. That'll link you live to YouTube. And I'd like to make the plea, if you haven't subscribed to us on YouTube, please,
we're begging you.
Because, you know, what did some of the gamers say? If you don't subscribe in 3 seconds, your console will blow up. We won't do that. But it does help us go live from various events, and it expands our possibility to bring stuff to you. Also, if you want to join us on Zoom, because that's kind of cool. I mean, thank you to Sandra and the other folks who do join us on Zoom. What you do is you go to zoom.us, and the Zoom number is...
It's now zoom.us?
Yeah.
You keep on giving me zoom.colorado.
I just did that once, zoom.com. It's zoom.us, so
don't
confuse people.
I wonder if guests don't appear on Zoom. We give them...
You're digressing. 209-576-4234.
Sorry, Larry, I didn't, you know.
Go to zoom.us, 209-576-4234. You know what? We don't have Patrick. Well, let's talk briefly, but because I told Matt Dunn we'd have him at 3:20, but okay. do you want to go into that and explain for folks who maybe aren't caught up to speed on the whole Kleinsmith thing?
Okay, so today the very first indictment of a person has been entered in a plea agreement with Kevin Kleinsmith, a lawyer.
And this is FBI, in the whole Russia Spygate,
investigation. He was the one where the CIA.
He was FBI lawyer.
Lawyer and an FBI agent, part of the general counsel's office. The CIA sends over a letter saying, Carter Page was it.
You're starting in the middle.
No, I'm not starting
All
in
right,
the middle.
All right, go ahead.
You don't know what I go
through. Let's take a vote, viewers. Anyway, all right, this is Party Friday. We're supposed to be partying.
Partying, okay. Where was I?
Okay.
He's the one who asked the CIA. He claims he's an asset or a source for the CIA. And the CIA said, yeah, we've used him. He's an operational source. So Kleinsmith then took the letter from the CIA, altered to say he's not a source, and then that's what is submitted to the FISA court. The indictment is worth reading. It's very short because there's only one
but
count.
It is. It does outline. I mean, when you go through it, I mean, because the dates are important. So keep in mind, this is the summer before the election, right? Donald Trump is now starting to do very well. And all of a sudden, it's looking as if maybe Donald Trump might indeed be president, right? Or at least be running for president. So the FBI, and there's indications, actually, that a lot of this, and we've talked about that in other shows, was going on. A lot of the spying and the trying to tear down.
But in the indictment, it says August 16th, approximately August 16th, 2016, which is very early in the process.
Right. Well, they started the Crossfire Hurricane operation in July of 2016. And so they're getting applications to start spying on people in the Trump campaign. Again, there's evidence that they've been doing it much longer than that.
They knew before the very first Carter Page FISA warrant that he was a CIA asset and they're hiding it.
And let's go back into who Carter Page was. Carter Page was like a nobody, Kofi, right? He was just
unpaid,
sort of,
part of the unpaid
right
kind of
and so
foreign affairs advisory panel.
And they want to start spying on him because they're trying to claim that this is the Obama, weaponized Obama folks, that he's a Russian agent. Well, Carter Page is like, no, I'm a CIA agent. And the CIA says, oh, he is a CIA agent. So the agent
was not an agent.
He's a source. So what Kleinsmith does is he takes out the word, he inserts the word was not a source. So he changes it.
Just one word.
It's like saying guilty, not guilty,
just
right? Minor detail. Let's go to Don, though, from Colorado Springs calling in. Hey, Don, thanks for calling the Chuck and Julie show.
Hey, happy Friday to you, too.
Oh, happy Friday to you.
Yeah. I do want to talk about the COVID-19,
sure.
And basically the extending of the face mask and all of that, you know. Basically, this is becoming more and more of a con game, you know.
Yes, yes,
until
absolutely.
COVID is not wiped out completely, or the vaccine ever becomes a reality. This is the whole game plan, you know.
Well, even the vaccine becomes a reality, almost none of these vaccines are 100%
right.
With
that doesn't matter. Just as long as the CDC's and its bureaucrats and Bill Gates pockets the money.
Right, there you go.
So, Don, what do we do about it? I go back and forth. You know, our good friend Anil Mathai basically is refusing to wear masks in places, right? But there are a lot of – and so I go back and forth because on the one hand, you don't want to hurt the business owner, right? But
of
on the other hand –
I mean, but a private business, if they like face masks, they have the right to make you wear one. That's the thing.
And you have the right not to go in there.
That's true. But I'm just saying, you know, you have to respect that space of the property as well as
right.
That. I mean, you have to know when to pick your battles. And I think the battle we need to pick is to expose this whole face mask thing, that it's not science, but rather scientism. It's a word I think conservatives need to start using, because the left loves to talk about science.
Oh, yeah.
But basically,
yeah.
It's science that kind of favors a progressive worldview.
Right.
It's a hoax. Yeah, it's a medieval science. It's
right,
a false
right.
science. It is a science that
it's
is not
flat
science.
Earth. It's junk science. It's all of that. But I think scientism can explain that, you know what, it's something that is maybe rooted in science, but it's rooted more in a predetermined outcome made by the left. And one thing I do want to discuss before my time is up.
Sure.
Is that New Zealand had 100 days, but because there was only 3 or 4 cases, that's good enough for them to lock down.
Right.
It's, you know, let me ask you this. The other day, Joe Biden said that he thinks there should be a federal mask mandate for 3 months.
Everywhere, outdoors, indoors.
I'm going to bet he doesn't say that again.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, he's just trying to buy votes. But I will say this again, if he does go with it, 3 months can become 6 months, then a year, then 3 years.
Then I think he's just doing
it. Ultimately,
the
face masks are not about science. It's about a form of a statement of submission. Maybe
in my
opinion, basically, you have no voice, but we do in it.
Right.
And basically, it's a way to honor President Xi Jinping and what he's done in China.
Well, what do you think of Joe's new running mate, Kamala?
You know, I didn't think she would make it out in the end, except for a few weeks, but who knows? You know, I mean, she slept her way into politics. Maybe this is the way for her to become president of the United States.
Sure hope so. She's so brilliant and such a
I don't really hope so, but I'm just kind of
I know you don't being
showing
sarcastic.
How it plays out should Biden win this.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey Don, thank you for calling.
Have a great day.
You too.
Take care.
I also think if Biden, if everyone has to wear a mask, then they can put in a fake Joe Biden and it's hard to tell.
Well, let's go to Gary here in Denver. Gary.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Hey Gary. Guys, long time.
Yeah, it's our Gary.
it took me a while to find out the day and the time and how to get in touch with you, so I just wanted to call and say hello.
Well, it's great to hear from you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I've worked the IRS and I've been working from home since February, so they finally are going to let us go back in the office beginning in a couple weeks, which will be nice.
Yeah.
I don't like having my office at home.
Yeah. It's hard to get yourself motivated and there's everything. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, other than, you know, working in your underwear, that's
I know.
Yeah, that's the nice part about it.
That's right. I have to confess, if I didn't do this podcast, Gary, I think I would have had makeup on and my hair, you know, so I know what you mean there.
Yeah, well, on your two topics, you know, this mask thing, you know, it's become political. And, you know, who really knows if it makes a difference? Nobody, right? I mean, it's
right.
everyone's
right.
guess.
Right.
But I tell you what, I mean, I don't agree with Polis's policies. He's way too liberal for me. But, you know, he put this mask mandate on, and for some reason, I don't know if it's that or if we're just lucky or if it's a hoax, but our infection or our transmission rate is like down like to 3%. It's going down, you know.
Well, our death rate, you know, they won't report the death rate on the Worldometer one, often for a day or two, so they can get up to a handful of deaths. I mean, more people die of hangnail in Colorado in a day than die of coronavirus. And Polis said, I wish we were in a better place. Well, what's the better place? That we, none of us ever die?
You know,
I mean, it's extraordinary to listen to him talk about how awful things are when you kind of go, it couldn't, as you said, it's the number of cases is decreasing, and that's just a matter of number of people you test. And secondly, the death rate is really down to one or two a day, and we all have figured out that dying from coronavirus means anything. I mean, you just happen to have a heart attack while you have coronavirus. They call it death by coronavirus. But, I mean, the average flu season kills you more.
Yeah, I noticed the death rate's down, which doesn't surprise me. But I look at more, to me, the important statistic is the positivity rate.
Which well, that's is just down, people being you know, tested. And it's a good thing.
Right.
I mean, it's a good thing that young people get it. And in fact, anybody under 80, you're probably lucky to get it because it probably won't be fatal and you'll have developed antibodies. I mean, it's you're slowly getting toward a herd immunity, which the masks hurt. You know, they don't help with herd immunity.
Well, you know, and here's my thing too. I wouldn't really have that much of a problem wearing a mask if, you know, if people, when they say stuff like, you know, protesters don't have to wear masks,
yeah.
you know, Black Lives Matter people don't, but if you're, you know,
churchgoers,
if you're churchgoers, you do.
Because they're dangerous
and
individuals.
And I wouldn't, if we could open the economy, right, I'd be like, fine, I'll happily wear a mask. If, you know, business, if you can have a drink, get a drink at a restaurant after 10 o'clock, some of the rules, or if you can go into a gym or something, you know what I mean? My problem is.
Yeah, you get the worst of all worlds.
They're closing down the economy. They're costing businesses their livelihood. That's kind of where go ahead.
Oh, well, you know, I work with people nationwide, and I happen to work with a lot of people in Texas and Washington. And I'll tell you what, our economy is way more open, like 100% more open than those others. Like, this whole thing wearing masks became very unimportant to me because, you know, this may sound crazy, but when they finally opened the gyms, that to me makes life much more bearable when you can at least get a workout in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Good point.
Yep. No, I agree with you there.
And I go to one that's, you know, 24 hours a day, and it's, you know, no limitations. So anyway, I think we're very lucky. I don't know why we're able to do this, but I tell you what, it's much better than other
and other places.
Well, I'm not sure. Better. Go ahead.
One last thing I wanted to mention about Camilla. Kamala.
Yeah.
Kamala, you got it.
Racist.
Kamala, the only, you know, obviously she's pretty aggressive, right?
Yes.
And the thing I'm hoping happens, I am looking forward to great entertainment if she ever debates Pence.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Actually, what I wonder is she'll probably clobber him.
You never know.
I thought Biden versus
the speaker, and I thought Biden was going to get killed. He won that debate, even though he debated Sarah Palin, who everybody says is such an idiot, and she cleaned his clock. So debates are funny things. You never really know.
Have you ever seen in your life Pence being even a little bit assertive?
No.
I mean, and I, you know, I mean, again,
yeah,
I've always
interviewed him.
I've interviewed him. I would say, have you ever seen Pence be interesting?
Yeah.
I mean, and I like, you know, I'll vote for him, but he's not Mr.
Death.
Charisma.
I mean, yeah.
Hey, Gary, listen, we got to get going.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll let you go. Have a good weekend.
Hey, right, great to talk to you, Gary. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. That's right. you know, and we love to hear from some of the folks who called us before. And again, you can find everything at chuckandjulie.com, previous podcasts, and all the links there. Going to turn our attention now to the big national news. Thrilled to have with us Matt Dunn.
Backbone Radio's own.
That's right, from 710 KNUS. He is the deep state expert. Matt, so thank you for your time.
How you doing, Matt?
Doing very well. Glad to be in here with you, too.
Yeah, this is fun. Okay, so we were kind of giving the background. I think the big question that everyone has is the Klein-Smith guilty plea, is he going to be sort of like, oh, he went rogue and he's a sacrificial lamb and now this all goes away? Or is this the tip of the iceberg and more to come? What do you think?
Well, I think it is the tip of the iceberg, more to come. And that's what A.G. Barr said last night when he did that unplanned appearance on the Hannity show.
Right.
You saw that.
We did.
You know, I think this is the tip of the iceberg. And most people that I've been reading that I think are credible sources that seem to have a lot of knowledge about Spygate are saying that this is a day to celebrate. You know, I mean, we've had years of like nothing, right?
Right.
We've had years of speculation, years of maybe this, maybe that, and it's been a very frustrating wait, right?
Yes.
But we have now an actual tangible guilty plea to a felony, federal charges for falsifying evidence. And this guy, Kevin Klein-Smith, is definitely going down the tubes for, it looks like, 5 years.
Oh, no, he's not. He'll get 6 months.
Cooperating. So.
Yeah. No,
it's federal stuff. They don't have that. You're right. I'm not sure. That's a penalty. It's not sure.
No, the maximum you can be, you know, they'll recommend because he's going to cooperate. They'll recommend.
See, and this is my question to you too, Matt, because I'm in looking at that and having covered a bunch of trials and having a little bit of knowledge of how these things work. I'm wondering, I mean, there are many things they could have indicted him for that would have carried a much stiffer penalty, right? And they didn't. So that's my thing is was this a plea or a plea agreement?
There's no quite, you don't have one count. This is clearly a cooperative witness. In return for being a cooperative witness, they agreed to just do one single count and then they'll give him, presume he does what he's said he's going to do and is cooperative, they'll recommend a minimum jail sentence because he's really not a very important
person.
Well,
he didn't do it. Yeah. I don't think for a second that he just on his own roguely decided, I'm just going to lie to all these guys and I'm going to, you know, change the email. And plus, we also have evidence that top FBI people knew before this even started. One thing I think interesting, Matt, is there were some reports out earlier this week that Durham's team was interviewing James Baker. Now, James Baker was Klein-Smith's boss, and he's tied to Clapper and Brennan. I mean, I'm wondering if that might be sort of the next step up the ladder.
I guess that's a good question. Next step up the ladder. And Klein-Smith was involved with Team Mueller. Okay. He was on Team Mueller.
Oh,
right.
I see this as potentially devastating for the Mueller team. And he was one of the top people on FISA, which means at least the first two FISA applications could be thrown out entirely. And there would be a whole, you know, truckload of ramifications that would follow from that. Okay, and the media might be trying to portray him as a smaller player or a bit player, but that is just not the case.
Ah.
He was one of the major players in this whole deal. Peter Strzok even described Kevin Klein-Smith as one of the magnificent three top attorneys on Crossfire Hurricane. So the entirety of Crossfire Hurricane, the FISA warrants, and even Team Mueller, I think this is the first major rumble and crack in all of the, you know, the Spygate apparatus that we're talking about here. So I'm extremely encouraged. As far as could you minimize anything, as the mainstream media is going to try to do, we have to say that this is the easy one for Durham, right?
Right.
I mean, we've been talking about Klein-Smith since before even the Horowitz report, December 2019, when that came out, it was pretty clear that
right.
Horowitz had Klein-Smith just hammered, just toked,
yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And so now we're actually getting the indictment. It is the easy one.
Right.
All right? But So it's not unexpected. It's technically like not anything new. You know what I mean? And it's interesting to me that it seems like something seems to have prodded Barr and Durham to make a move maybe a little earlier than they had planned. I know we're essentially out of time already, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But
right.
But I'm kind of encouraged in that they dropped this today when I think that their goal might have been to hang it a little bit longer back.
Right.
Okay, and I have some theories on what might be prompting this.
Well, that's all right. That's Hira. You're the deep state guru. Let's hear it.
Well, I've been talking a little bit on Backbone Radio about what we're calling like the Paul Revere ride or the midnight ride of Sundance over the
We read them all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you been following some of that? It's a really fascinating story.
Yes, it is.
Well, here, maybe explain to folks what that is.
IQ patriot.
Right. And, a conservative treehouse. Yeah.
Well, Sundance decided that he was worried that we might not actually get accountability on Spygate matters from Barr and Durham, that there might be a little bit of a too much impulse to want to preserve the institution.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, right.
And so he kind of, you know, he got on his horse and he went into the corridors of power in the Beltway and started briefing people. He has an encyclopedia on everything Spygate, years of utterly meticulous research, as you guys know.
Right.
And
right.
So
well,
I
here's my theory. Oh, let me, Matt, because I agree with you there. And here's my theory on Sundance, because having been a reporter sometimes and you're investigating stuff, I know how things, and I'm sure it's the same thing for lawyers, right? Things can suddenly come together. I suspect that Sundance has been talking about this stuff and sort of analytically connecting the dots, right? I suspect that he has a source.
Oh, he does.
And he now, as of recently, well, I think initially, right, has rock solid ironclad sources, and once you get one source, I mean, then it becomes easier
to explain everything to you. You know, what does this mean and what does that mean?
But
and all
I
of a sudden
there's, you might add this, that what Sundance is writing about is that in some of his meetings that he was able to arrange with some of these power brokers, he ended up catching a certain name on a document that is a name involved with the Durham investigation.
The chief investigator.
And this is a name that nobody knows, has been a state secret, has been 100% hidden.
Right.
And I think Sundance has enough background knowledge to realize that he saw something incredibly significant there that maybe he was not supposed to see.
Ah.
And so maybe he started mentioning that, you know what, if we don't get results by the 15th of August, if we don't get some tangible action from Barr and Durham, then I'm going to start releasing things like including this name, and I'm just going for it because, hell, I'm sick of waiting for this
right.
stuff.
And I kind of
think that's why Barr went on Hannity last night, and it was not a planned appearance. And I think this Sundance might actually have something so significant that they have to pacify this American patriot who's going all out to bring justice to this entire gigantic political scandal.
Why don't you tell people who Sundance is, just because we're talking about it.
Yeah, if you ever go see a blog called The Conservative Treehouse, I think it has been a remarkably prescient and intelligent blog, and it was one that I think predicted Trump's victory, got everything right leading into the November 2016 election. It's been around at least probably since around 2011 or 2012, with just an extraordinarily bright individual who can collate huge amounts of information that, you know, are very confusing stuff.
Right.
And somehow he holds it all together, puts it together, and has been the kind of encyclopedia on all things deep state and Spygate, Russiagate, go down that list. So
let me finish. Do you know what he does in his other time when he's not being a sleuth?
No, I don't know what he does, frankly.
Well, I do. He's an executive.
Things, but I think he prefers to be as anonymous as possible.
Yeah, well, they've added him a long
total
time
credibility.
Ago. They added him a long time ago. He's an executive with Publix, which is a grocery chain in Florida and throughout the South. There's no question. That's him. Which is, you know, great. I mean, obviously you got to earn money. You can't just be doing this stuff,
but
he's been incredible
incredible research. But he clearly, like I said, as he goes on, he's gotten sources and people are now feeding him information. Well, let's go back, Matt. So Kleinsmith is there, and I agree, you're right. I think the New York Times is reporting, I think, an interesting comment from Kleinsmith's attorney saying, hey, look, he gave the original unaltered email that said Carter Page was a source to his bosses at the FBI. I think it's interesting that Kleinsmith's attorney is saying that. Which, and again, I don't think any of us believe that Kleinsmith just all on his own decided to do all of this. Like I said, how far do you think it's going to go? I mean, I think we're going to have Baker, but then you got to say, well, who was telling Baker to do this? Comey, I think we saw Sally Yates the other day clearly throwing Comey under the bus saying he went rogue while they were doing things by the book. Where do you see, or I know where we hope this goes, but what do you think?
I guess that is, I had not seen that, what Kleinsmith's attorney was saying, and that might be some effort to sequester the Kleinsmith problem.
Yeah.
What I've read, I would say that's not going to hold up. I think that Durham does have a mountain more stuff. Do I have anything specific to go on that? No. I would say this. Adam Housley, who is a former Fox News reporter, who has been generally reliable on Spygate as well, seems to have some inside connections that are very rare to find in this space that are that are good. He describes the Kleinsmith plea as as one sock of a full suit, like one sock of a wardrobe, and that you're going to see more following. That, like, this is the easy one, you put on the sock, but there is more stuff coming. You know, is that a guarantee? I guess in this world and what we've been through,
there are no guarantees.
No guarantees. But my reading of it, at least for what it's worth, is that encouraged, optimistic, and I think we're getting somewhere. And you know, it's like I said, it's trouble for the whole team Mueller. It's trouble for the entirety of the FBI, and it gives 100% legitimacy to the Durham investigation and to what Barr is up to.
We're talking with Matt Dunn, our cohort from 710 KNUS, Backbone Radio, 5 to 8 on Sundays. And if you don't listen to it, you should, because it's just a great show, a great show. You know, one of the things that was interesting when I read the indictment is that Kevin Kleinsmith was an expert in FARA, the Federal Foreign Agent Registration Act. And everybody's always said, well, they started Crossfire Hurricane as a counterintelligence operation. No, the indictment makes it clear they opened up a criminal FARA investigation, whether Trump and all these other people should have registered as foreign agents of Russia.
Even though they were CIA foreign agents.
That was an amazing kind of like, aha. So it wasn't a counterintelligence. It was a criminal from the beginning.
FARA was used, in my opinion, by the Obama administration,
with
a thin legal predicate to go around spying on their political opponents and unmasking them. The unmasking is going to be tying in big here, and that's what that U.S. attorney in Texas named John Bash is apparently looking into, is the unmasking phenomenon that went on by the hundreds, even by the thousands in the Obama era, and not just back to 2016, 2015, but before, and maybe even going back to 2009 and 10.
It's been going. I mean, I think, and here's where I got to wonder. Sometimes I have my questions, not sometimes, I have questions about Lindsey Graham and some of the senators.
Really?
Right?
No.
When you look at the Senate, some of the Senate intelligence committees, I mean, I got a feeling that if the Obama administration is just so blatantly unmasking people and using the National Security Agency to spy on political opponents, I got to figure that was perhaps something that was being widely done there, which is why I think people like Lindsey Graham haven't pushed as hard as they could have for some of this. Because I think,
Matt, did you listen to the interview by, talk about 7 KNUS by Hugh Hewitt, which, you know, he's, you know, no matter what you think of Hugh, of Ron
with
Johnson.
Is it Ron Johnson in Oregon?
Whoa. Hugh doesn't rip establishment guys. He is a GOPE kind of guy, and he just laid into Ron Johnson. Who are the people?
Just what I was saying.
Who are the people holding it up? And of course, we all know Lindsey Graham's part of that committee. So, gee, that would be a surprise.
Exactly. But all of this, you see, it cuts both ways. It won't be just Democrats that go down the tubes if we can get accountability. It'll be Republicans, too. That's why it's a uniparty thing. It's an establishment thing. And, you know, we've talked about that for some time, that it's kind of Beltway versus America right now. And that explains, I think, the severe uselessness of the Republicans in the Senate.
Right,
the uselessness of Lindsey Graham, who is almost unbearable, and the uselessness of Mitch McConnell. But ironically, you mentioned Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt, if you remember, wrote that hagiography of Mitt Romney some years back.
Right.
Remember
he
that?
Loved him.
But there is Hugh Hewitt trying to pin down Ron Johnson about give me the names, who's blocking the subpoenas for Comey and Brennan. And pretty much we know it's Mitt Romney.
Right.
So ironic.
Well, and you know, and let me go back to meeting, because I always think,
I'm not sure Hugh Hewitt knew that was the answer.
But
I think you're right. Yeah.
This has been going on for so long, and it's gotten so complicated, and there's all kinds of other things. I think sometimes, to me, the significance of this gets lost. What we're talking about, what happened today, is a top FBI official acknowledged and admitted and pled guilty to lying to a court, to altering emails so that they could use the lie as justification to spy on the president. I mean, that's just astonishing to me that that's what's going on.
No, it's not. It goes on all the time.
I know, but I mean, it should be astonishing.
I mean, if you really think this is unique, that they haven't been lying, cheating ever since J. Edgar Hoover started the whole corrupt agency, you're crazy. The 99% of all, you know, it's not 99. There are good men and women in the FBI.
I know, but
it's still bad
that this is happening.
Okay,
and I think we should not lose sight.
Yeah. Not any more than having an agent here.
What Julie said is Carter Page, and he was a CIA informant longstanding. And there is a August 17th, 2016 email that the CIA sent to the FBI, in which the CIA said, yes, we know Carter Page. He has been essentially a CIA asset for some time, helping the CIA root out some bad Russians.
Right.
Now, that is a pretty good recommendation that, you know, Carter Page is a known, he's probably not a spy. He's probably not a Russian spy because he's actually working against him. But the FBI, Kleinsmith, then switched keywords in that email around to make it look like, no, the CIA didn't know Carter Page and that he probably was a spy, and therefore the FBI has to spy on Team Trump and on Carter Page, and that's where you mislead the FISA court. That's really bad stuff.
Right.
And the sad part is not really bad stuff.
It's what they do. It's common, but it's bad.
Well, it was another one about, you know, just the 1%. The guys who did the report, there are two FBI agents who did the report on the subsource.
Okay.
Ivachenko.
This is the Steele dossier.
Steele dossier, his primary subsource. And if you read the report, it's impossible to tell anything because you've got to make reference back to the Steele dossier itself. But they interviewed him and said, well, look, I mean, the Horowitz, the inspector general said, well, do you feel bad? I mean, it's obvious. No, we didn't care. No. The fact that, you know, the whole thing, oh, no, no problem.
Just
you know,
we
didn't tell anybody, no, you know, I mean, they knew which side of their bread was buttered, and they went, no, it was okay. So everything was a scam. What do you think we do? We're the Federal Bureau of Scams. We're a scam agency. Just amazing.
You know, I kind of wonder.
Exactly.
I'm hoping.
The FISA court didn't care until suddenly they sort of started looking bad, and then they started caring.
Exactly.
And like, now the consequences are starting to trickle out.
I think if you're Kleinsmith, you're blaming Baker. And I think if you're Baker, I mean, I think Sally Yates' testimony that Comey went rogue and she had no idea Comey was doing any of these things. To me, it looks like, I think that there must be, this is my hope at any rate, some evidence that is going to lead up to Comey. I got a feeling that Comey is in trouble here. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. And it's not just that Sally Yates
deliberately
threw Comey under the bus, called him rogue. And interestingly, Lindsey Graham was kind of coaching her down that road to say, oh, yes, Comey went rogue. But do you remember the Susan Rice, what you call the CYA memo?
Right.
The justification letter that she wrote in the last moments of the Obama administration. Well, that was recently more declassified, okay?
Uh-huh.
And in those lines that we got to finally see for the first time, this is about 3 months ago, we finally got to see them. Ah, Susan Rice was throwing Comey under the bus.
The bus,
out there all alone.
Yes.
So I think you combine Sally Yates saying Comey went rogue, you combine the Susan Rice CYA letter leaving Comey hanging out to dry. I think, you know, and we've talked about this before too, that there's a little bit of a battle between, I think, CIA and FBI in terms of who goes down with this ship.
Right.
And it
well, you know, I think we've got
right
a,
now that the CIA has
a pretty
the
good idea
hand.
Of the FBI, but we haven't heard anything about the CIA, to tell you the truth. We know very little of the Five
Eyes.
The
only thing we
working.
Know is that Durham is going to interview Brennan. And we don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but that's become public, came out in the New York Times, because Brennan probably ran the New York Times to leak it out there that he's about to be interviewed by Durham.
Right.
So,
well, and in my
and that
experience,
means Durham's probably
too,
near the end of the road of his investigation.
I think we're getting very close to the end, because I think typically prosecutors don't like to have plea agreements announced. They don't like to have all this stuff out there because it gives the other people who are targets too much information about where they might be going. So my guess is that they've got things pretty as much wrapped up as they're going to get them wrapped up. In other words, I don't think at this point they're saying this to maybe hope that somebody else doesn't. And my guess would be, and actually, I think Barr hinted at this yesterday. He said, we're going to be able to explain to people what happened before the election. I mean, he's not saying that.
Yes.
I don't believe unless they've got it pretty much put together. I think we might hopefully start seeing some stuff happening fairly quickly now.
Well, you know, one of these things about they talk about, well, so-and-so, and the FBI is going to interview A or B. And that is not just as poor Flynn found out. Even when you just talk to them on an informal basis and they think you're your buddy and the agents think that you're telling the truth, they don't care. They still invent it. They make it up and then they indict you. And then they indict you on more things. So when they say they're going to interview somebody, that means something has been arranged, because nobody anymore is going to quote unquote, oh, I'll go and interview with those fine FBI people, because if I tell the truth.
Well, maybe they'll make stuff up about Brennan.
Well, you know, they should. I mean, you know, anybody who talks to the FBI, even if it's just to say hello in the morning, is insane. It's insane. They're crooked. They're dishonest. I mean,
well,
it's just amazing.
That's a question I might ask Chuck, that there's a few people who are having a hard time getting very enthusiastic about the events today, people that really, really want the Spygate accountability.
Right.
And one of the things they'll say is, well, Durham's going to interview Brennan, but Durham hasn't interviewed Clapper, and he hasn't interviewed Comey. Now, is it possible that you don't need to interview a Comey or a Clapper if they are still in trouble with Durham? Like,
yeah, no,
do you
that's
need
right.
to have
yeah.
an
that's
actual
right.
interview or not?
That's right.
Well, then it could be they refused. It could be they asked and they refused, which would be the smart thing to do. So, I mean,
usually they get you to come in on the basis, look, we're not really looking at you. We just need to confirm a few things. You just come on by and have a cup of coffee.
We also don't know what the grand jury is.
Meet Strzok and Page. They'll give you an interview.
But we don't know if there's grand jury activity, too.
Well,
you
don't know much.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sandra brings up a good point that these FISA judges, what are they doing?
Yeah, they need to go down, too.
Yeah. I mean, they should be hauling these people saying you've lied to the court and that's contempt and off to prison for 6 months. I mean, they're just, and Roberts, of course, the world's worst chief justice, is of course the head of the FISA court. And he doesn't seem to ever want to say anything other than there are no Obama judges, Trump judges. They're just crooked judges.
that's a misquote.
Well, that's where that leverage needs to be applied to the FISA judges and even to, Roberts at the top of the Supreme Court. That's where that squeeze needs to happen. And that's you know, the question mark is, will A.G. Barr do that? Will Durham do that, you know?
I don't think so. I don't think we'll go that far.
Sanders applied to your cook. Well, Matt, let me just a couple more questions for me. Where, what, because you are so knowledgeable about this, what should folks be looking for? What are some of the key things that we should be paying attention for and what we should be seeing or what should we be paying attention to that we don't see?
Well, I think that in terms of what we're going to get, they say that Durham is a leak-proof entity, meaning nothing gets out of there. But whenever he's going to talk to somebody, like, say, Brennan, then you might get that person, like Brennan, leak out to the media. So I would just advise people to be taking most of what they hear with a big grain of salt, especially if it comes from CNN, New York Times, or Washington.
Yes, I think that's right. That's right.
Because you don't know. And I think I'm looking for, like, today I was expecting, okay, they nail Kleinsmith. I was expecting to see some powerful distraction narrative come up out of the media today, but I haven't really seen anything that measures up to much.
No.
And so that's kind
of the problem is they've got the Israeli UAE deal, which is, you know, a huge breakthrough. And of course, Biden taking credit for it because Biden and Obama hated the UAE because it was against Iran. And so you take credit for something. You know, they hated Netanyahu, they hated the UAE, they hated everything else. We did it. Yeah, we did it. I mean, that guy, well, he wouldn't know, so he can't blame him.
It's all kinds of great news and successes from the Trump administration.
Yes, coming out.
But the media is, I think they're playing defense. They're back on their haunches. I would expect around when they think some real Durham revelations are coming out, some bigger ones, some heavier ones, I would expect a lot of distraction narrative to start happening, some kind of major held back attacks on Trump. They can make it seem like something's happening. But as it is, they're still hanging out with talking about John Bolton or Michael Cohen, which are proven nothing burgers. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Matt, you've been great. We love you. Everybody, listen into him on Sunday nights, 5 to 8 on 710 Backbone Radio. It's just a great show, and you'll learn all this and everything more. And it's great to talk to you, Matt. Just great.
Likewise, my friends Chuck and Julie, let's be keeping in very close touch.
We will be for sure. All right, Matt. Thank you. We'll be burning up the text lines. Thank you, sir. Have a great afternoon.
Right on. Thank you both.
All right. Thank you to Matt Dunn there.
Well, let's talk about Synergenics. We take a quick break. And this is a type of medicine that was invented about a couple decades ago. It's called age management medicine. The goal is to reverse your biological age, so you look, feel, and act much younger. Your strength, stamina, and power will be restored. Rebalance your body to your 20s and 30s. Enable you to regain back your youthful mind and bodily functions, boost your libido, eliminate sleep issues, power boost your mental acuity. I mean, I'm 70 years old. I don't feel 70 years old. I hope I don't act 70 years old. And if I don't, it's a lot of help due to Dr. Julie McCallum. And I think Peter Boyles would tell you the exact same thing. So if you want to be feeling younger, and age is just a number, and if you feel great, you have to do something to do it. It just doesn't occur. And just call Julie. She'll talk to you directly. Free consultation, 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681, and you'll be glad you did. And tell them that Chuck and Julie sent you. And if you just want to go on the website, it's CENEGENICS, Synergenics. It'll be the best thing you ever did.
All right. You know, we can open the phones back up again, 888-627-6008. I want to read some of the comments from Sandra, because she said, I want to see some of the FISA judges go down, the system's out of control. Really. You're right. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just doing it as we get. And she goes here too. I think Q was given information to push hard when he was interviewing Senator Johnson. On that whole thing, I agree with Matt. I have been cynical about, first I've been hopeful, then cynical, then hopeful. But I have a feeling that there is more to come. How high it goes, I don't know. But
it won't be a Watergate thing, where I think they brought in 40, 50, 60 agents and people from Deep Throat, who, you know, they didn't know was Deep Throat, and got all kinds of pleading guilty from lots of high CIA, FBI.
Yeah, I would.
And I think this will not be that.
But I do
because
think.
Because they don't have the press, the mainstream press.
Right, to push it. But yeah. I do think this, the fact that they let Clyne Smith plead guilty to one count as opposed to others indicates that he's cooperating. He's clearly already, his lawyer is saying, that he told other people, he gave them the original thing. So that's conspiracy there, right? That they allowed it to go forward. So we'll see. Right now, I'm going to bet it goes to Comey and stops there. Clapper and Brennan, man, that might just get convoluted and, you know, off in the woods. But I don't know. On the other hand, what's interesting is Durham has said that they have gone back farther than just the origins of Crossfire Hurricane, right? That's initially what they started looking at. So, you know.
Well, and Obama's lucky he's Obama. If he were Bush or you got, if you're Trump. You know, they'd indict him. They would, and he deserves to be indicted.
Well, here's the thing. You know who else deserves to be indicted? The Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN.
Gene Banquet.
People who knowingly, all these reporters who knowingly reported lies. They were slamming Trump. They were calling people crazy with the Russia conspiracy and things like that. When they knew it was all true, they knew that what Trump was saying was true. What they were reporting was lies. It's too bad you can't indict the media, you know. You want to talk real quick about this Candy C. DeBaca?
Sure.
Okay. And again, feel free, guys, 888-627-6008, the number to call. If you're listening on Zoom, just unmute yourself and you can pop in. So today, Candy C. DeBaca, well, she's not really that new anymore, Denver City Council member, who is a self-avowed communist.
Marxist.
Said that she, well, not said, she filed a motion, or I guess a bill, to be discussed at the Denver City Council meeting on Monday that would put before the ballot a proposal to get rid of, not just defund, but to abolish the Denver Police Department and create a new department called the Peace Department, the Peace Force. They would be unarmed. What's tricky about this, and she's got some council members mad at her about this, because I think there is a way that this can be done without everybody having to vote yes on it. I mean, it's kind of complicated, but what's tricky about this is to get something on the ballot in Denver, it has to be approved by August 31st. So she's only got a couple more weeks here. Clearly, not a lot of time to debate abolishing the police department, right? My guess is she's going to go ahead and say something to the effect of, we don't need to debate it, let the citizens vote, right? It's like, just let the citizens vote on whether they want to get it. To me, I say, again, you go ahead, Denver. You just abolish your police department. Good luck with those peace forces when they're called out to hostage situations.
Well, if they do pass it, the Westminster police, like the fire department, they think they're better than the citizens, and they literally look down on them, basically mock them. If you call, they hang up on you. They think you're just dirt. I bet they get a little more polite to the citizens
agree that there have needed to be their police reforms are good and necessary.
And they also ought to get rid of the civil.
But get rid of them, that's to say that your home is being burglarized and you see the guy, so you call and you're like, oh my God, I'm hiding in the basement. There's a burglar in my house. And like, hey, we're sending out the peace force. what the heck are the peace force people going to do? And under her bill,
actually, when it comes down to it, in case you're the police are always minutes away when seconds count. So maybe to get more people to kind of go, I better protect myself.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, that is going to wrap it up for us. Would like to remind folks, please go ahead and check out our podcast at chuckandjulie.com. You can listen to us on Facebook. Love to have you listen to us and subscribe and like us on our YouTube channel. Again, you get there from chuckandjulie.com. Glad to have Gary call. I mean, the word is getting out.
Getting out and subscribe to us and we just love it. And you may want to follow us on Twitter. What are we up to? How many tens of thousands are we up to?
Yeah, millions. It's at Chuck and Julie One. That'll do as we want to say. Wait, people are texting. Oh, thank you. You guys, thank you so much for all the nice calls, for all the people listening on Zoom.
Doug and Don.
And Thomas now.
I can tell the difference between Thomas and one of his dads. So I'm okay on that one.
All right. Hey,
bye, everybody.
Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Take care.